Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 85 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Peyton Stewart.
We need to make it as good as we possibly can so that we can attract that tourism in here, or we can attract that business in here.
November 6th is Election Day in Kentucky, and two Rouen natives are vying for the county's top position.
Martin County residents are again facing a water crisis.
The Greenup Public Library tax has been lowered once again.
A Lewis County veteran has been arrested after investigators say he tried to procure sex from an 11-year-old.
The Laurel County Sheriff's Office is investigating the theft of a church bus.
In sports, Rouen County football is looking for a big win at Ashland Blazer tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight with lows around 61 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
With the November election looming, candidates are out in force looking for voter support. Republican Don Hall and Democrat Harry Clark are campaigning for the judge executive position in Rouen County. The two men spoke during Wednesday's New Cities meeting in Moorhead. Clark, a Moorhead native and Air Force veteran, says his experience in the commercial airline industry will be beneficial to the county.
I see things that we need to do. I'm big in plans. I think this comprehensive plan that we're working on is the key to what we need to be doing in the future. It's going to tell us where we need to be, and I will be certainly involved in that if I become the judge executive.
Hall, who served as Rouen's jailer for 17 years, says he wants to act as an ambassador for the county.
The judge executive position is no longer a position of gravel and blacktop. I think the fiscal court needs to cooperate with the city leadership to move Rouen County forward.
Both men will be answering questions from the media during the Rouen County Candidate Forum on October 23rd. You can submit questions to the WMKY news director via email at l.akers@moorheadstate.edu.
Brady Industries CEO Craig Bouchard is pushing back against a Courier Journal report about the financing plan for his company's alumni mill, which is slated for construction in northeastern Kentucky. Commenting on Facebook, Bouchard said his company's plan to borrow approximately $1 billion from the government is actually one of the better options for building the facility. He says financing through the Department of Energy's auto supplier program will save the company upwards of $35 million in interest, which he claims will help create more jobs and fund more money into community charities and schools. He also says the savings would mean Brady will pay more in state and local taxes, and that approximately $1.7 million could be reinvested into the company's labor force as employee bonuses. The estimated cost to build the alumni's plant is $1.68 billion.
Residents in Martin County are once again facing a water crisis. The county's water board has been facing public criticism since last winter, when a water shortage left residents without water for days and sometimes weeks. Currently, the board is renting a pump to get water to the treatment facility. John Hensley, secretary of the Martin County Water Board, tells WCHS they thought it would pump 6 million gallons of water daily instead of 2.
And in a lot of it could be the power that we have there. It might not have enough power to run it at full capacity. We are really just right on the edge. I mean, we absolutely have to have some money. It just cannot operate on what we're operating.
The Martin Water Board is asking for a 49% rate increase from the Kentucky Public Service Commission. Officials say without the increase, customers will be without water within 2 months.
The University of Kentucky has been awarded $4 million by the Department of Defense and Office of Naval Research. Research over the next several years will incorporate training used by UK's top athletes to help men and women in the military reach optimal preparation for tactical training and development, both physically and mentally. Scott Leppard is the dean of the College of Health Sciences.
This new research at MARSOC builds on the past 4 years of work that we have done with MARSOC, aptly titled Marine Special Operation Preparedness. This work will discover novel metrics that will assess the preparedness of the Marine Raider Special Forces operator prior to deployment and following deployment. We will monitor his physical, musculoskeletal, neurocognitive, and psychological health.
Experts at UK's Sports Medicine Research Institute have spent the last 3 years working with the Marine Corps Forces Special Operations Command Human Performance Program at Camp Lejeway in North Carolina. They have been studying injury prevention and increased physical performance.
The Greenup County Public Library tax has been lowered yet again this year. WMKY's Sam Haynes has the story.
The Greenup County Public Library's director, Sharon Haynes, told the county's fiscal court that the tax rate has been lowered from 8.9% to 8.8% per $100. The Daily Independent reports she cites the county's economic growth as the reason for the tax cut. The previous year's tax rate brought in over $1.74 million, while the new tax rate is projected to bring in a little over $1.69 million. Haynes says she believes this is the fifth year the tax rate has been lowered. For WMKY News, this is Sam Haynes.
Relay for Life activities will be getting underway in Mount Sterling this Wednesday. Things will get started on the courthouse lawn Saturday with a cancer survivor dinner, followed by a 5K glow run walk. Chase Barnes is the community development manager for the American Cancer Society in Lexington. He says even though events don't get started until this weekend, the community can get involved right away.
So we are asking all downtown merchants to decorate their storefronts with purple ribbons or purple wreaths or anything purple in support and awareness for the Relay for Life events that we're having on this weekend and next weekend.
The dinner begins at 6 p.m. and the 5K starts at 8. Anyone interested in the 5K can go online at www.runsignup.com/finishthefight5K. The Mount Sterling Relay for Life begins Saturday the 29th.
We'll be back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
A 15-year military veteran was arrested in Lewis County last week after allegedly using Snapchat to try to meet up with a minor for sex. Investigators tell WSAZ 38-year-old James Browning thought he was talking to an 11-year-old girl and planning to meet up. Instead, he was talking to Lewis County Sheriff Johnny Bivens. Bivens said the girl's father saw her phone several weeks ago, and while Browning had not crossed the line yet, he thought it was suspicious for him to be talking on Snapchat with his 11-year-old child. The man passed the phone to Bivens, who continued the conversation for about a week. Browning is lodged in Lewis County Jail on a $20,000 bond.
A Lexington man has been arrested on multiple sex abuse charges. LAX18 says 41-year-old Marcelino Camacho Lopez was arrested yesterday. His arrest citation reports Camacho Lopez sexually abused one boy and two girls, all under the age of 12. He is facing multiple sexual abuse charges. Camacho Lopez is lodged in the Fayette County Detention Center.
The Laurel County Sheriff's Office is investigating the theft of a church bus. WYMT reports the bus is owned by Victory Baptist Church off Hammonds Lane. Officials with the church say the last time they saw the bus was on Sunday and contacted authorities when they didn't see it at the church on Wednesday. Senior Pastor Anthony Lovett says the bus is an important asset of transportation for the church, but he thinks everything will work out in the end.
We were just about to drive the bus to go pick up some kids. But now, you know, it was just God just kind of give me an overwhelming peace about the situation.
Lovett says the bus is used for a variety of youth programs at the church. Reports are saying the van previously had the church's name painted on the side, but has since been painted over by the thief. Anyone with information is asked to call the Laurel County Sheriff's Office at 606-864-6600.
Catlettsburg has named an interim mayor. According to WSAZ, City Council voted to elect Councilman Roger Hensley to fill the position after the death of former Mayor Randall Peterman. Hensley previously served as mayor for the town from 1994 to 2006. Catlettsburg City Council held an emergency meeting at the beginning of September to elect an interim mayor. However, that vote ended in a tie. Now that Hensley has been chosen, he will finish the term, which ends on December 31st. Council will now have to fill his council position within 30 days.
Former Estill County Judge Executive Wallace Taylor was arrested yesterday on a Franklin County indictment. Kentucky State Police tell LEX 18 that the arrest was the result of an ongoing investigation. Taylor allegedly deposited two checks from the fiscal court into his personal account. He is charged with abuse of public trust. Taylor resigned at the end of last year as judge executive.
A Kentucky coroner has ruled the death of a four-month-old infant as homicide, and police say they are investigating. The Fayette County Coroner's Office says in a Thursday statement that preliminary autopsy results found Landon May's cause of death to be consistent with abusive head trauma. The baby died September 8th at the University of Kentucky Medical Center. A statement from Lexington Police Department says medical personnel contacted police September 5th to report possible child abuse. They say the boy has been brought to the hospital for an apparent seizure and was suffering head trauma that was possibly suspicious and non-accidental. No arrest has been made. Police say they are awaiting lab results from an out-of-state medical examiner.
A serial bank robber in Louisville is going to prison. KNN's Paul Miles has more.
Johnny Day robbed four banks in Louisville, including three in 1 month. Each time he would hand the teller a note saying, "Give me all your money, no alarms, no dye packs, nice and easy." Day got away with a total of $3,862. He was finally caught after a witness to the last holdup wrote down a license plate number that led police to Day's apartment in Shepherdsville. The serial bank robber was sentenced to just over 3 years in prison, plus 3 years of probation. I'm Paul Miles.
More than 1,000 shirts have been sold in Scott County to support the recovery of Deputy Jamie Morales. According to LEX 18, Morales was shot last week while assisting with an arrest. The shirts feature Morales badge number 217, which has also become a hashtag of support, says Deputy John Bright, a friend of Morales.
When he's in recovery and he's having a down moment, he can look on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anything like that, and type in hashtag 217 strong, and you can scroll through the thousands of pictures of people wearing his shirt and supporting him.
For information about shirts, go to the Scott County Sheriff's Office Facebook page. Shirts are $15 for general sizes and $22 for 2XL. Taking a look at the weather this afternoon, it is partly sunny with a high near 87. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely, mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Saturday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 70. Saturday night, showers likely, cloudy with a low around 58. Sunday, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 69. Sunday night, a chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 61. Taking a look at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg it is 84, in Maysville it is 86, in Ashland it is 83, in Grayson it is 82, in Inez it is 85, in Lexington it is 86, and here on the campus of Morehead State University it is currently 83 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff unloads the mailbag and provides answers to a couple of pressing questions from correspondents.
Our noble staff has gone through the massive mailbag and has removed all of the junk, including ads, subpoenas, and audio tapes from people auditioning to replace me when I retire. What's left is a stack of challenging questions. Let's get to the toughest ones. Professor Modaff, I've been hearing people arguing about how bad the Trump administration is at nearly everything, and when defenders of the president speak up to compare his antics to those of past presidents, opponents accuse them of whataboutism. What is whataboutism, and why is it assumed to be the end of an argument? Signed, Cecil Q., Hampton, Virginia, a web listener. Dear Cecil, I too have heard this odd phrase. When criticism of an incumbent involves comparison to anyone or anything that happened any time prior to 5 minutes ago, the one accusing you of whataboutism is saying, what happened before doesn't matter anymore. So, for example, if the Obama administration was given a pat on the head and a pass for, say, allowing guns to be provided to drug cartels or wiretapping Congress, that's no reason to expect equally open-minded treatment of the current president. From this viewpoint, anyone who uses precedent or an example from history as a basis for judging current events is guilty of whataboutism. In other words, to quote Henry Ford, history is bunk. The funniest things people who like to toss whataboutism around as some form of argumentative Tommy gun is that they often appeal to precedent as the basis for their criticisms of the status quo, while also arguing that history is bunk. Dear John, I've heard the word binary ever since middle school when we were taught the binary system in math. I understand that all computer information is based on the binary system, and that a 1 and a 0 are all that is required to build a code. So why lately has binary become a dirty word? I can see why people might feel hemmed in sexually by binary thinking, but is all binary thinking flawed? Signed, 1-0. Dear 1, so-called binary thinking is essential to language itself, mathematics, computing, and two-way stops. While binary thinking may be too restrictive for comfort in matters sexual, there are numerous places in life where binary thinking is just fine, mainly because it correlates nicely with reality. Before people started applying this jargon to daily life, rhetoricians called flawed binary thinking the either-or fallacy. That is, sometimes there are more than two choices, but rhetors like to convince people there are just two. Problem today is all binary thinking is under suspicion. But even people who argue against binary thinking use binary thinking. Saying a choice is non-binary, for example, carves the world up into two forms of choice, binary and non-binary. Just be patient. There are lots of choices in responding to binaryophobia, and no doubt diversity will win out. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Peyton Stewart, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more are available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
The Vikings are looking for a historic win tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Vikings head to Ashland Blazer for a 7:30 matchup tonight. The Tomcats are 5-0 on their season, coming off a 14-7 win over Ironton, Ohio last week. Head coach Kelly Ford says his team is feeling the pressure to get the win this week since Rowan has never beat Ashland.
I mean, they're running it. They can throw it. They got some good skill kids, a good quarterback. It'll be another challenge to us to get our kids motivated to play.
Kickoff tonight in Ashland is set for 7:30. More area football games tonight include Lewis hosting Fleming County, East Carter hosting Greenup, Johnson Central is traveling to Bath County, Morgan is on the road against Estill County, and Russell is hosting West Carter. All those matchups kick off at 7:30 tonight. The University of Kentucky begins a crucial portion of its SEC schedule when it takes on number 14 Mississippi State at Kroger Field Saturday night. Both teams come into the night undefeated and boasting potent rushing offenses. Kentucky head coach Mark Stoops says the ability of both teams to run the football means the game will likely be decided in other areas.
Both teams can run the ball effectively. Heck, they run it for, what, 311? Mm-hmm. We're in the 280 range, so both teams can run the football. When you can run the football, it opens up opportunities. And who's going to defend and who's going to make the plays down the field is going to be a big piece of it as well.
It's the first conference matchup for the Bulldogs, while the Wildcats look to go 2-0 in the SEC after beating Florida 2 weeks ago. Kickoff under the lights in Lexington is set for 7 p.m. tomorrow night. Morehead State University has a bye this week. The Eagles travel to Indianapolis next Saturday. They face the Bulldogs at 1. Cincinnati heads to Carolina on Sunday to take on the Panthers. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
The Bengals look to continue their hot start to the season without one of their main weapons. Running back Joe Mixon will miss 2 to 4 weeks after undergoing arthroscopic knee surgery. Six-year veteran Giovanni Bernard will fill his spot in the backfield. Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton says Bernard adds a dose of familiarity the team will need with Mixon out this week.
He understands every aspect of, you know, the position and knows what we're doing in the run game, pass game, protections, all of it. So, I mean, I definitely have a comfort level with him back there. He's been so good at it his whole career. And so, you know, that's, we're fortunate to have a guy like him that, you know, with Joe being down, you got a guy that's reliable and does everything exactly how you want it done.
Cincinnati is off to its first 2-0 start since 2015. They won the AFC North divisional title that season. Kickoff against the Panthers from Bank of America Stadium is set for 1 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
The Browns finally did it. Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns have put an end to the team's 19-game winless streak by rallying from a 14-0 deficit to beat the New York Jets 21-17. Mayfield came in for Tyrod Taylor late in the second quarter and was 17 of 23 for 201 yards and a reception on a two-point conversion. Carlos Hyde's second touchdown of the night put the Browns ahead with 2:04 left to play. The 14-1 Rowan County Boys Soccer Vikings are hosting Pendleton County at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. The last game the Vikings lost was August 16th when they fell to Montgomery County 2-0. Rowan coach Max Hammond says that he's happy that even though some of the games his guys haven't played as well as he'd like them to, that they can still pull out a win.
You know, we've had some good performances and we've had some, you know, kind of okay performances or even bad performances and still pulled out wins. So, you know, I mean, it's awesome that we've been pulling out the wins, even though sometimes we haven't been playing that great.
Pendleton County is 6-4-1 so far this season. In other regional soccer action this weekend, Boyd travels to Hurricane, West Virginia tomorrow at 3. Fleming County hosts Bath at 6 on Saturday. And West Carter heads to St. Pat for a 3 p.m. matchup. The Lady Vikings soccer team is hosting the Rowan County Classic tomorrow in Moorhead. Letcher County Central and Boyd County will face off in the tournament opener at 11 a.m. The Lady Lions are 4-8 on the season, while the Lady Cougars stand at 3-4-2. Rowan's gals will face off with Dixie Heights at 5 p.m. The Lady Colonels are 9-3-1 on their season. They're ranked 4th in the 9th region. The Lady Vikings are 5-1 on their season, coming off a loss to Johnson Central at home last night. Rowan hits the road again on Tuesday when they face off with Bath County at 7 p.m. In other area girls soccer action, top-ranked Russell travels to George Rogers Clark for a 1 p.m. matchup tomorrow. West Carter travels to St. Patrick, also at 1, and Menifee heads to Perry Central for a 2 p.m. game. Moorhead State's volleyball team opens Ohio Valley Conference play tonight at 7 p.m. The 9-4 Eagles will face off with Jacksonville State and then prepare for a Saturday match with Tennessee Tech. MSU coach Jamie Gordon says his Eagles have already shown they can bounce back quickly.
I think while we'll be, you know, really looking forward to that first match, our ability to turn around and quickly prepare for Tennessee Tech is going to be important.
Saturday's matchup is set for 2 p.m. The Eagles play at Weatherby Gymnasium here on the campus of Moorhead State University. And finally in sports today, the high school volleyball action this weekend. Rowan faces off with Lafayette at 6 p.m. at the Thoroughbred Smash. The Lady Vikings will face Bryan Station at 7 p.m. and Franklin County at 8 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Volleyball hosts Jacksonville State tonight at 7 p.m. and Tennessee Tech tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Football's next home game is Saturday, October 6th, hosting San Diego. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The Dow Industrials closed at another record high and headed for solid weekly gains as concerns about global trade dissipated. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 86.52 at 26,743.50. The broader market, not as strong, held down by weakness in tech stocks, with the S&P 500 down 1.08 at 2929.67 and the NASDAQ Composite down 41.28 at 7986.96. Investors also today were bracing for an S&P 500 sector reshuffling that will send Google parent Alphabet, Netflix, Facebook, and Twitter to the telecommunications services sector, which is a brand new sector. That sector will also, it'll start trading on Monday, and Disney and CBS will also be added to the revamped space. Analysts are not expecting a large move when the new sector starts trading on Monday. Some media stocks could garner buying interest as some of the large FANG names join the space. McDonald's shares rose 2% after the company hiked its quarterly dividend by almost 15% to $1.16 a share. Micron Technology shares dropped 3.5% after the chipmaker said PC processor shortages are hurting demand for memory chips, which is a key business for the company. Five homebuilder stocks were downgraded by J.P. Morgan, including Pulte Group, sending the space lower. The Spider S&P Home Builders ETF fell 0.1%, while Pulte Group shares dropped almost 1%. The analysts noted the housing recovery will be, quote, tepid. In the commodities markets, oil is up 0.75% at $70.84 a barrel. Gold was down 0.7% at $1,203.30 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were up today, with the Stock 600 index finishing with a gain of 0.4%. And in Asia, stocks were very strong, with the Shanghai Composite up 2.5% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 1.75%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were McDonald's and Cisco, while the worst performers were Intel and Disney. In the S&P 500, the best performers were IPG, Photonics, and American Airlines, while the worst performers were Copart and Twitter. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 41 cents at 85.69, CSX up 94 cents at 73.99, AK Steel down 10 cents at 4.75, Marathon Petroleum up $1.38 at 83.31, EP up 32 cents at 71.40, and Community Trust Bank was up 15 cents to finish at 47.20. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. Basketball and racquetball courts, weight and exercise equipment, indoor walking track and swimming pool. Outdoor Adventures offers a bouldering wall, camping and hiking equipment, kayaks and paddle boards for Eagle Lake. Towel service and group fitness classes included with all memberships. Day passes and community memberships now available for fall. Bowling lanes open Monday through Saturday, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Laughlin Building. More information at 783-2083.
Taking a quick look at an upcoming community event, the Derrickson Agricultural Center at the Morehead State University Farm will host a live Tibetan Yaks exhibition on Saturday, September 29th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Rutabakers will provide food and bluegrass music begins at 1 p.m. The event is free and open to the public.
Taking a look at the weather, tonight, shower storms and thunderstorms likely, mostly cloudy with a low around 61. Saturday, a chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 70. Saturday night, showers likely, cloudy with a low around 58. Sunday, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy with a high near 69. Sunday night, a chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 61. Monday, showers and thunderstorms likely, cloudy with a high near 73. Monday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 63. Taking a look at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg it's 84 degrees, in Maysville it is 86 degrees, in Ashland it's 83, in Grayson 82, in Inez 85, in Lexington 86, and here on the campus of Morehead State University it is currently 83 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Leanne Akers, Joe Lewis, Sam Haynes, Tanner Boyd, Peyton Stewart, Cody Robinson, and Nacogdoches Miller. Kentucky News Network's Paul Miles and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke had your stock report. And our feature commentary came from MSU professor Dr. John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Peyton Stewart and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.